Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
Ooh, that was some good stuff. Hallelujah, praise the one, the risen Son. How good is it that we get to worship with music that talks about God's sovereignty and his life. Oh, that is so good. It's such wonderful to be able to worship through the music that we have here at the Vine. Hey, I'm Mark Pugh, pastor of outreach and operations at the Vine, and I'm really glad to be able to share with you guys this morning. Today we are starting a three-part sermon series on vocation. Let me try that again. Today, we're starting a three-part sermon series on vocation and work. Yeah, right there. That's exciting. That ought to be super exciting. We do a lot of work. You guys know probably Pastor Tim and I, we're both from the South. We're kind of southern boys, but unusually, there's a lot of things we don't have in common. One of us loves people. One of us is tall. One of us is young, and one of us is good looking. But we both. We both agree that our favorite verse in the Bible is the passage we're talking about today, and that is Colossians 3:23. So let's take a look at that. You can open up your Bibles, Colossians 3:23. We're going to go through that today, as Tim and I both love this verse. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So today we're going to look at this verse. We're going to look at a couple others. And we're going to see that it's our hearts that determine whether we work for the Lord or for men. And we're going to look at three questions as we go through this. We're going to look at why do we work? We're going to talk about what is work and how are we to work? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for humor and friendships that you've given me. Thank you for Tim. And we love you, Lord, and I just ask you today to open up our minds, open up our ears, open up our hearts to your word, that you would help us understand, each one of us individually, what we need to hear, what we need to understand out of your message, out of your scripture, Lord, that you've given us to change us and to help us trust you. So, Lord, work in mighty ways this morning. Amen. Okay, so before we get into looking at these questions, I wanted to break down this passage a little bit. I've loved this passage for a long time, but I realized after looking at the original language in Greek that there was a couple of nuances that I had a little bit wrong as I thought about what it was to me. So, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not men. That phrase, whatever you do, it's a pretty good phrase, but it also can say make a journey, make a path that God's got a journey for you or he's got a path that you're on. The word work is pretty simple. It's work, to do business, to perform, to make happen. One important note on that is it's an imperative. In this particular context, it is a command. We will do this. Okay, the interesting word to me was heartily, because I've always thought of this verse and said, man, we're going to get after it. We got to go work. We're going to work with all our heart as if for the Lord and not for men. And that gives me an excuse to go do what I want to do, which is work really hard. And sometimes maybe even just do it for me and maybe be a workaholic. But when I looked at the text, it really means by the means of or because of our heart, because of our soul, because of our inner self, that's how we're going to work for the Lord or for men. It's not just working really hard. Another way to say it is this journey that God has you on, that it's our hearts that determine whether we're going to work for the Lord or for men. And I think understanding this is ridiculously important. If we want to flourish in our lives, in our daily lives, because we do a lot of work, we need to understand what does this mean. So we're going to look at our first question. Why do we work? The simplest answer is that God is a worker. And as we imitate him, we're an image bearer of him. That's what we're supposed to do. We bring glory to God. So our work is about bringing glory to God. That's why we work. We bring glory to God through our work. We already mentioned that this word, it's an imperative. It's a command. It's something we're going to do. We will work. We will make things happen in our life. This same root word can be found in Ephesians 2:10. It's also a passage that I really love. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So he's given us this path that we're going to walk in, that he's done ahead of time for us. It's good for us. It's good works. See, God's made us beautifully and wonderfully, but he's also made us to work. It's a part of our journey. You know, this topic of work, it's introduced early on in Scripture. It comes right out of the chute, first book of the Bible. It's a part of the creation story. It's found in Genesis. It's in Genesis chapter 1 and a lot in Genesis chapter 2. We see that God's not only a worker, that he built everything, but he's also got us a part of his plan for us to work. The problem is, see, work was around before the fall of man in Genesis 3. It was around before Adam and sin, and we made these choices to be kind of selfish on our own, and so sin enters the world. Work was there before that, but now sin comes in, and what does sin do? Sin makes work hard. Sin makes work all about me and about my success. So Genesis 1, we see in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2:2, on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God's a worker. After creating the heavens and the earth, we see a little later in Genesis 2 that he makes us in his image. It's really important. And he tells us to go work in the garden. We got a job to do. Right away, he's given us a calling. There's this vocation. And this vocation, it's more than just a job in the business world. This vocation, we all have them. We're going to talk more about them. They're for all of us. Student, you got a vocation. Parent, if you're retired, you've got work to do. So this is for all of us. See, God not only saved us from his work on the cross, but he also is inviting us in to cultivate and care for his creation. He helps us to restore what he's given us to live in. Then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And we also see in Isaiah 65, where we're talking about the new heavens and earth, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Work is going to be in heaven. Work was in creation before the fall, and we're going back, and we're going to be working in heaven, and it is going to be beautiful. I think that's a little bit of a problem for us. I don't think many of us, I don't, wake up every day and go, hey, what's going on here? Am I going to heaven? Wonder what my perspective of my situation today would be if I remembered that I was moving towards heaven. So we need to do that. We need to remember that's part of our vision that God has given us. He's moving us towards heaven. But here's this really bad tragedy about work that we live in today. And we're going to live in it tomorrow. We get up. And we get up early. We go get in our car. We go fight traffic. And we go to this work, or maybe it's school or whatever this activity is. And we probably don't love it. We're not super happy at our work. And then we do our work, we get back in a car, we fight traffic home, only to go to this home that really isn't what we were hoping for. And then we repeat, and we do it the next day. This is not what God's plan was. This is not the thought process that we should be having in our lifestyles that we should be leading. when it comes to work. This is all a result of sin. God's plan for work is much more than this for us. See, we tend to forget that everything is under God's authority and his dominion. Our kids are under his authority and dominion. Our wives, our relationships, our recreational activities, our businesses, they're all a part of his rule. And I think not understanding this, not thinking about this, not thinking about heaven, we're going to work in heaven. All these things lead us to having less purposeful lives today. See, we don't view our work as a gift from God. We view our work as a burden to us. We miss out on the beauty of this practical transformation that work does in our lives in really practical ways. Work grows us. We learn how to be team players. We learn how to persevere. We learn how to be creative, to find our passions and our giftings through our work. Work helps us to be dependent upon God. And we need to learn this. This is a part of why we work. You know, I can remember this time that several years ago, I was running a small business. I was running the operations of this small business, and I was really a workaholic. I really was. I worked all the time. I thought about it all the time, and the kids were little, and Rhonda said, hey, let's go to the swimming pool. It was a beautiful day. And so I go along, and I sit at the edge of the pool, and I'm just hanging out, and I am consumed with this business problem. We got to let some people go. We're not doing that well. We got to lay off some people, and it's driving me crazy. I can't let it go. It is tugging at my approval in my heart. It's tugging at my desire to be comfortable. It's driving me crazy because I can't control it. It was a painful time because I couldn't be present and do the vocation that God had called me to, the work that he had called me to, which was love my family. And I've done this a lot. I've been at the dinner table many a time, and I've had a kid look at me and say, where are you at, Dad? That's not a fun place to be. But God has shown me over and over again that he is the provider of my work. He's the provider of my path. Over time, God has allowed me to realize, hey, you can trust me in this. You know, I could have, and I'm sure I did this occasionally, I could have blamed my work, my job, the environment I was in for the stress I was under. But the reality is, God showed me, hey, you're the problem, not your job. I got to trust him more. I had to learn that I'm not the savior. And so because of this, I've learned to be more dependent upon the Lord for my work. This is a part of why we work. We learn. Because we're God's image bearers, our work can bring God glory. I've been reading this fantastic book called Business for the Glory of God by Wayne Grudem. And in it, he says that this is why it is instinctive being an image bearer. This is why it's instinctive that we want to be productive, to invent, to earn, to save, to give, and to do our daily tasks. Because we're an image bearer. See, God gets great pleasure when he sees his children imitate his character. It's just like us. We get a lot of pleasure when we see our kids imitate our great qualities. I mean, it's no different than like how excited I am. One of my better qualities is, see, this is a little bit faded now, but this is orange and white. It's a beautiful color from the University of Tennessee. One of my qualities, which one of my children's, and maybe both of them a little bit more than mama's school, they love Tennessee. So I get excited about it, and that helps us all flourish. Our work helps us mature in our spiritual journey and to flourish when we use it in our God-giving talents. As we do that for the Lord and for each other. And we see this really clearly back in Jeremiah 29. This was written 600 BC. This was not a great time for the Jewish people. They were in exile. The Babylonians had come in, kicked them out of their place. But God, in this, in Jeremiah 29, says, hey, I know you're not in your city, but go pray for it. It says, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray for the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. That's fascinating to me, that we can pray for our city and in its welfare we can flourish. We should want our county, our city, our country to flourish. We should be excited when we reach new potentials in God's creation using the creativity that he's given us as image bearers of him. This is a part of his overall plan. You know, I've been a little sad lately because we have a heater that's starting to have some problems. The heater downstairs is having problems. But I got to say, hey, I want to give God praise because he was in infinite wisdom. He created materials in his creation that we can go get. And then there are people that are beautifully and wonderfully created that are mechanically inclined that gave us HVAC. And they can fix my HVAC because I like to be comfortable. I like to be the right temperature. I couldn't do this if it was on my own. But because of God's plan of work, that happens. We all flourish because of this. Our desires to be productive and are good. They're good. They're God-given as long as they're motivated to honor God and to love each other, to love our neighbors. And I got to break that down a little bit because I think that might be a weird thought. Like when we go to work, we love our neighbors. Our neighbors are all over the place. I've got a neighbor here, I believe. I've seen him over there, the McReynolds. They're my neighbor. They live in my neighborhood. But I've also got neighbors that are vendors that I've worked with, that are customers I've worked with, that are coworkers, my kids. Those are all my neighbors. I do work, and I should love them through my work because that's a part of how we bring glory to God, is I'm an image bearer. Okay, so we've talked a lot about why. Why do we work? Let's talk about what is our work. As we see in our passage, our work is, it's whatever we do. It's a broad concept. A couple of verses before this in chapter 3 in Colossians, Paul's talking to some parents. He's talking about marriages. Right here in this particular verse, he's talking to the bondservants, and their job could be basically anything. They worked and did whatever their boss or their master told them to do. We so often use this word work. It's a good word. But maybe a better word for us is the word vocation. Vocation means that it's work that someone has been called to do. Today, it's associated with the business world a lot, but it's really more of a theological term. See, we're called by God to do many different vocations. We're called to flourish and to remember that it's God that's the provider of our work. And I think some of us, we get lost in thinking, well, you're called, Mark, because you're in full-time ministry. If you're a pastor or a full-time minister, you're called into that. But that's not right. See, we're called to go do good work in all sorts of different ways. We're called to do good work at our homes. We're called to go do good works in our neighborhoods. Some of us are called to do good work in the businesses that we're in. Some of us are called to do good work in school, like, you know, students, you're to bring honor and glory to God, you're to do good work and try really hard in your school. See, our work is transformed into this godly calling as we do it in the name of the Lord. Work becomes not just a job, but it becomes something that is a gift. It's a gift from God. Our vocations are where the Holy Spirit comes in and sanctifies our Christian life, not when we think about ourselves, but when we're serving our neighbors in love. You know, as we continue to define what is work, we could probably all sit around, we might not agree with this list, but we'd probably come up with a list of like, here's some things that really should be off limits for Christians. These are occupations that are off limits, but I believe that most all the vocations that we would kind of bump into and work on are good godly vocations. Electrician, lawyer, school teacher, mom, spouse, volunteer at the hospital, at the humane shelter, at the church. These are all godly vocations and all these vocations help us as a community to flourish, just like Jeremiah 29 says. And we have to avoid thinking that work is something you do to provide for your family, and it might help you retire early. You know, in this book, Reason for God, Tim Keller, pastor, great author, here's what he says. It's a good quote. In our society, many people have worked extremely hard to pursue careers that pay well, rather than fit their talents and interests. Such careers are straitjackets that in the long run stifle and dehumanize us. This quote's kind of painful, but I do like it because it's real. I talk to guys regularly, and this is where they're at. They're stuck. You know, I can remember kind of sadly, but when I finally was going into ministry, I talked to my family about it. And I got a couple answers. It was unusual. You know, you thought somebody would have been like, yay, that's great, we need that. Or somebody might have said, do they know your past? I didn't get any of that. What I got was, how are you going to provide for your family? Like, you're trained up to be in the business world. We also have to avoid thinking that being a Christian is about working hard or being ethical, or maybe on a fantastic day, we talk about Jesus at our job. I mean, we should share Jesus on our job. There's no doubt about that. But that answer, I think it's a little bit of a disconnect. It's not a terrible answer, but it's a disconnect of what God's plan really is for work, that's designed to allow us to demonstrate God's love to our neighbor and to do so using the unique giftings the way he's made us. You know, this is the reason why so many of us sitting in this room right now are feeling purposeless. We don't love our job. We don't get joy from our vocations because we don't see how we glorify God and love our neighbor through them. That our work, unfortunately, is all about us. It's all about our identity. It's how we get ahead. It's how we feel good about who we are. You know, as we define and correct our view of what vocation is, we come to realize that it's God that's given us everything. God gave us our time. He gave us our talents. He gave us our treasures. He's given us our relationships. These are for him. It's not for us. We do this. We do it for the good of the neighbor. As we understand this, we start to learn that our vocations, they transform us into the image of his son. You know, the more we understand that everything in life is under his dominion, the more that we will flourish in God's grace. So let me ask you a question. Do you see what you're doing as a calling from God? We need to ask ourselves that regularly. If you're a parent, God gave you your child. He made that path for you. If you're a spouse, God gave you your spouse. He made that path for you. He gave you that journey. If you're a business owner, he's provided that. He's provided you with the gifting and the opportunity and the job. If you're underemployed or maybe you're physically or emotionally hurting, that you're not able to love your spouse or to parent your kids the way that you really had hoped for, you've got to remember and realize that God allowed you to be in this place. That's okay, that he still has given you work to do. It is a command, and it is good work, and it is work specifically for you. We've got to pause. We make a mistake if we do not pause and consider this. If we don't consider what vocation is God calling me to do now, as we work for the Lord, we love our neighbor, and we'll flourish. See, I think we tend to, we get wound up, and it's kind of justifiably so, when we don't succeed at something. When we're at a job and we're struggling, maybe we're running a business and it's not profitable. I mean, there's all sorts of ways this can happen. Sometimes it's not as tragic as we believe it is in the moment when we have to move on. Maybe we get let go. Because this is a part of our spiritual journey. This is how God helps us see the passions and the giftings that he has for us. We have to go work and explore those things, and he helps us along as we realize that it's really a gift from him. It's really his provision. It changes our perspective of things. It helps us to get into meaningful work, work that we really are passionate about, that God's hand is a part of it. You know, I can remember this time I was in college. I was in logistics. I got this great internship at this warehouse with all sorts of automated stuff, and I was packing boxes. And this QA guy, who's like, you know, 5-10 years older than me, he kept coming down the line, and he said, "Hey man, your count's wrong here." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, that happens." And he did it like again, and then he did it like the third time, and I'm like, Mark Pugh, like, I don't make mistakes like this. Are you kidding me? But at some point, I had to start realizing, like, I am not very good at this job. That's okay. At the time, I probably didn't get it, and it was pretty painful. But now I understand. That's just not the work for me to do. So God matures us through our work. It's a part of our journey. So we've talked about why. Why do we work? We've talked about what is work. Let's talk about how are we supposed to work. And this verse, it shows it right away. The verse says, we are to work for the Lord. That's how we're to work. We're to work for the Lord, not men. We don't work for the approval of man. We don't work to satisfy our own hearts, to be in control, to be comfortable in our lives. Those are great things, maybe. They could be benefits of work, but that's not why or how we work. It's because of our hearts that we either work or for the Lord or we don't work for the Lord. It's all about our motivations. We see in Colossians 3:17 that in all things, how we do it with a grateful heart. We're thankful for God for our vocations. Again, that's how we're to work, to be thankful. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Why wouldn't we work this way? I don't get it. I thought about this a lot. I mean, it's really powerful to me. Like, why wouldn't we work this way? God's the provider. I think we all know that. We're not the provider. Maybe we get lost in that we think we are, but I think we see in Scripture over and over again, and I think we see in the practical ways that we live our life out, that it is better to do it God's way. God's ways are better than my way. God's ways are better for my marriage. God's ways are better for my parenting. God's ways are better for my business. Christ is just best, period. We got to trust that. If we want to flourish in our work, why wouldn't we work for the Lord? I was looking back a couple of chapters early and reading some beautiful scripture in Colossians 1, and I just felt like it needed to be shared because in it, we see that Christ is the image of God, the invisible God. The fullness of God dwells in Christ, that he was the creator of all things, and he holds everything together. That's who Christ is. I'm not that. But I've been taught to walk with him. I've been taught to be built up with him. I've been taught to be thankful. This just seems like a better way to go. Seems like a better way to live my life and to work. Yeah, I've worked in the business world for over 25 years. I've been married for over 21 years. I've got two beautiful kids that are daughters that are teenagers. I know what it's like to work for men. And I do know what it's like to work for the Lord. But as a pastor, I'll tell you, I still struggle not to work for man. I do it regularly, and it never satisfies. When I get really worried about approval from a coworker or a volunteer or my kids, or maybe I'm still worried about the good life, because I kind of still want the good life. I like to be comfortable. I am no longer thankful. I'm no longer thankful for what Christ has done for me, what he's going to do for me. And I think it shows. It shows in my life. Everything is better when we work for Jesus. Everything. This is how we flourish. And we get a glimpse of this when we look at Matthew 11. We look at Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Our work and our lives, they're hard. It's hard, but it's through faith in Jesus. It's not through our hard work. It's through our faith that we're declared righteous, that we're loved and changed. It's our belief in Him and finding our identity in Him where we find rest and security. It is the only way that we will ever understand what real godly vocation and work looks like. This is where true and lasting peace comes from. It's through resting in Christ. You know, the more we realize that God is our Savior and our provider and let Him direct our vocations, the more free we are going to be to work in these areas of life where we are gifted and passionate because of Him and what He has given us. And that will help us to love our neighbor and to bring glory to God through our work. I beg you guys, I beg all of us this week to pray. Pray for God to direct our paths. Pray for Him to point out where we are to work, where our vocations are to be. What does He have for us? And to help us to go work for the Lord and not for man, because this is the only way that we're going to flourish. And we've got to remember that it's our hearts that determine whether we're going to work for the Lord or for man. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks today. We give you thanks for being our foundation. We give you thanks for rising from the death and being our God, Lord. We can trust you, Lord. Help us to do that. Lord, as we come to a time where we're going to participate and be a church family and we're going to gather around for a meal, I beg you, Lord, to renew our faith, renew our union with you, Lord. We love you. It's in your wonderful Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.